Well, good morning. I'm sure many of you, like myself, have had a busy week or a busy couple weeks leading up to today. Most of the world has been that way, leading up to a day like today. What I want to talk to you about today is simply a few things that, as Christians, we need to remember. A lot of individuals have spent a lot of time in lines leading up to this part of the season, spend a lot of money, dipped into savings, whatever it may be. We spend a lot of time, we spend a lot of resources for days like today in our society. And simply what I want us to look at today is, as Christians, whether we are spending that much time and that much of our resources to pour into what God would want us to pour it into. For a few moments this morning, let us reflect on a few things to remember, not just for today, not just for this season, but for every day as Christians. Those few things and those aspects are love, hope, and the perspective of understanding what the perfect gift is. Because I'm sure you probably spent a couple weeks trying to find that perfect gift. If you have children, you're always trying to find that perfect thing for them that you know is going to make them light up. But when it comes to Christians, we really need to make sure that we understand what the perfect gift is, and more importantly, that we're spending as much time and as much resources to ensure that everyone has access to know what that gift is. So some things to remember for today. Without love, we're nothing. Now, I'm sure you woke up on this beautiful spring morning as we're about to have some thunderstorms later today in the midst of winter. But that's Oklahoma for you. If you don't like it, just wait a couple weeks and it will change. We need to have love. Because as Christians, without it, brethren, we're nothing. Truly, truly, we are nothing. You could have all the money in the world. You could have all the resources. You could have all the fame, all the honor that this world can give you. But if you have not love, you're nothing. You are literally nothing. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll begin in verse 1. This chapter is often misunderstood. It's often read at weddings, and rightfully so, because love, the aspect of love, is incredibly important. I don't want to take this entire chapter out of context, because there's much in this context. But what I do want you to focus on is love, because Paul is not joking around in terms of what love is in the way that he wants the Corinthians to understand it. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." And if you skip down to verse 13, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love." If you want to be a Christian and you really want to understand not the beauty of this season, not the beauty of this day in the eyes of the world, but the beauty of being bought by the Savior, if you have not love, you are nothing. Without it, we are empty. Without it, we are simply nothing. If you go around and be boisterous and you have all this fame and honor and you have all these followers on social media and everything you could possibly imagine in terms of communication, you're this giant clanging cymbal, but you have not love, you are nothing. If you have all the fame, you have all the honor, you have all the glory, you have all the gifts that anyone could ever want, but you have not love, you are nothing. And we're not talking about the superficial love of the little note that you pass to the person that you like in middle school or elementary school. check yes or no, like the old song used to sing, the old country song. That's not what we're talking about, brethren. We're not talking about some superficial kind of love. We are talking about the deep-seated love of Christ in us that flows through our veins, that flows through us to others. If you have not love and you do not share it, then you don't understand what it means to be a Christian. You don't understand what Christ came and died for. You don't understand what Steve was trying to describe, that this beautiful gift that Jesus was as He came to this earth to die for us and show love to all, not just to some, but to many, that they might have hope, that they might have a future, that they might have something to look to that no one else could give them. If you have not love, you are nothing. Brethren, more importantly, if we have not love as Christians, we have no hope. Consider the aspect of understanding what love does for you, what it translates into. It gives you a hope for the future. If you have a love of the gospel, if you have a love of Jesus Christ, and that He died for you and took your sins away with His blood, if we simply have faith and obedience to Him, what does that do for you? It gives you a hope for the future. So many children today, so many people awoke and they ran down their stairs or they ran to the other room hoping for something. As they tear through the paper, they throw all of the stuff. I can't remember what it's called, but you put it in the bags to make it look pretty. I'm terrible at putting it in the sacks. You rip all that stuff out for a hope of something in there, right? That thing that you've been hoping for, and especially when you're a little kid, you're hoping for that amazing toy or whatever it may be. It's interesting, as we get older, the toys get smaller and way more expensive, right? But when it comes to a hope, how many people wake up today and don't have a hope for the future spiritually? How many people are going to wake up tomorrow and not have a hope for the future? How many orphans, how many widows, how many people in this world are going to not have a hope for the future? Let's look at a few verses here as it pertains to hope as Christians, because it's important not just to think about hope today. It's important to think about hope every day. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen is what? It's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." We need to have a faith, our faith in something. When you're a kid, you have faith in your parents and you have faith in that jolly red man that's going to dance on rooftops and climb down your chimney or whatever it may be. But as Christians, what do we put our hope in, brethren? Do we put it in the hope of something that is far more greater than anything that you can imagine in this world? Nothing that you can touch, nothing that you can see, nothing that you can hear equates to the magnitude of what this offers you, what this hope is in the gospel. 1 Peter 1 and 8 through 9 says, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." What does this season do for people with hope? It brings joy. Why? Because we're with our family, we're with our friends, we're with situations that bring us happiness. But brethren, again, we can't equate, though, happiness with pleasure. We can't equate happiness with joy from something from this world if you are going to parallel that with your spirituality. Don't put your hope, don't put the joy that you receive in something in this world. You've got to put it in something eternal. Because if you want to be an eternal being, you have to put your faith, you have to put your hope, you have to receive your joy from something that is also eternal. That's why we love Him. That's why we put our joy in Him. This inexpressible and glorious joy that 1 Peter talks about is because He is eternal. He gives us hope. Let us also give hope and place our thoughts in what He asks of us. Our purpose is far greater than what our society would tell us as Christians. our hope, our joy, unlocks something far greater, far more powerful than anything of this world. Hope gives rise to something beautiful as Christians. That beauty is understanding what he says here at the very end. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, which is what? The salvation of your souls. When we live for him, that is what we can hope for. So many people, when Christ fed the 5,000, were looking for a physical savior. They were looking for someone to come and to overthrow the Roman Empire. They were looking for someone to come and be their king, to walk into Jerusalem and to march the Romans out of Jerusalem. But they didn't get what they were expecting. If you remember, he feeds the 5,000, but then the next day when they come to him, he says, I'm not here to feed you physical food. You want that, but that's not what I've come here to give you. How many are hoping for something physical in this life, are being promised something physical in this life, but are not being told what is spiritual? That deliverance from being lost. Once unaware of the joy and the hope in the Savior that they had in the first century, as well as what we have here in the 21st century. Luke 15 and 7 says, For I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who do not need to repent. Why? Why is God going to see that as such a beautiful thing compared to those 99 that are just living the way that they're supposed to? Why is it going to be such a glorious moment? Because that was someone that was lost, that had no hope, that had no joy spiritually, that was lost, that is now found, that was gone, that is now back, that had no salvation, but is now pure and made pure by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the hope in the future that we need to be teaching, brethren. That is the hope in the future that we need to be expressing. Not just today, not just this season, not just next year, but every day, every year that you have breath in your life, we need to ensure that people know that hope, that joy, that inexpressible joy from the salvation of our souls that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he is the perfect gift. You spend all this time trying to find the perfect gift around this season. It's right there. He's right in front of you. Do you spend as much time showing, teaching, living in a way that expresses this perfect gift? Because if we're not, you forget the point of this season and you forget the point of Christianity. He came to save the lost, and our mission is to ensure that those lost that could be saved hear the gospel, just as he would want us to. Not with our own ideals, not with our own opinions, simply the way that he has it written down and the way that he has expressed it. Many ask the question around this time of year, do not all deserve the chance to receive a gift, especially those unaware of the joy and the hope that a gift should bring? When you give someone something like a gift, isn't it wonderful to see on their faces the inexpressible joy that they have? When you know that that's exactly what they wanted and exactly what they needed, and they open it, and you see that joy in their faces. You can tell the true elation in them. It's a beautiful thing. True happiness does not equate to physical things of this world. What does equate to, though, is you see the eyes and you see the elation and you see the hope and the joy in someone when they become a Christian. It is inexpressible. That joy is unparalleled. Yet, do we spend enough resources ensuring that people are hearing that message, that they're seeing that in us, living it every day as God would want us to? Because do people not deserve love? Do they not deserve hope? Do they not deserve joy? Do they not deserve peace? Do they not deserve at least once to receive at minimum the knowledge of this perfect gift that is Jesus Christ? That is my question today. I hold myself accountable as much as I would say Christ would hold us all accountable. Do we spend as much time thinking on that? Because I'm sure we've all spent tireless hours researching to learn more knowledge about the products that we want to buy, the products that could be the perfect gift for someone. Do we spend that much time researching? Do we spend that much time in God's Word, ensuring that those that would hear the message are going to hear it the way that it should be? If we know that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of the heavenly lights, with whom there is no change or shifting shadow, James 1:17, why would we not spend hours, dip into our accounts, and lose sleep over the knowledge that people need to hear this message? Why would we not? And if you do, great. Pour more time into it. Pour more resources into it. And that would be a charge that I would make to the elders. That as we go and embark into a new year, what are we going to do with our congregation? Where are we going to move forward? Are we going to move forward to express this inexpressible joy to people? That they may know the gospel. That they may know the message. That is the charge that I would give them, and that is the charge that I would give us. Will people in Tulsa, Oklahoma, will people abroad know the perfect gift because of us? Or will it simply be silent? On a day like today, people concern themselves with thoughts regarding gifts every day. Should Christians not consider a need to concern themselves first and foremost with spreading the gospel and teaching of this perfect gift? How much more did God's grace and the gift of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many? Romans 5:15. Thanks be to God who always leads us triumphantly in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Brethren, today when you enjoy the love of your family, when you enjoy the love of your friends, whatever it may be, remember that without love, you are nothing. Without love, you are nothing. Today, enjoy the hope and the joy of the season if you wish, but remember that others may not see today the same way that you do. Today may bring sorrow or heartache, because today there's a seat that's not filled at the table. Let's ensure that the hope and the love that we spread to others is that love that Christ would want us to. Not a hope of this world, but a hope of the world eternal. Today, forget about trying to find the perfect gift, because He's right in front of you. He's been here all along, and He's going to continue to be here. He brings peace to the heartached. He brings joy to the sorrowful. He destroys hate with love. He brings the greatest gift of all, and that gift is life. Let us not forget that every day is a gift in Jesus Christ. Every day is hope in Jesus. Every day should be filled with love in Jesus. That, my friends, is the spirit of today. That, my friends, is the spirit of the season. Love, hope, joy, peace, and the life that brings the perfect gift to us. May we all remember what is important and ensure that all know of the great gift that is Jesus Christ. For that is our purpose. That is our calling. That, brethren, is our command. If there's anything that you can do this morning that you need to do for Christ, to put Him on in baptism, be clothed with Him in baptism, as Galatians 3:27 says, to wash away your sins and come up into a newness of life, as Romans 6 explains to us very clearly, then may it be known. Have access to that perfect gift that has been given to you by God the Father. And if you haven't lived for God, if you've had a misstep, make it right with Him. If you need to come forward and make that known, then come forward now as we stand and as we sing.